Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an assessment of Ernest Moniz, President Obama's choice to be the next Secretary of Energy. Tyson Slocum, the Director of the Energy Program at Public Citizen, joins us to discuss the choice of the physicist who is currently Director of MIT's Energy Initiative, a research group that gets funding from BP, Chevron, and Saudi Aramco. Then, with the publication today of the new list of billionaires from Forbes, we will speak with Les Leopold, the author of a new book, How to Make $1 Million an Hour, Why Hedge Funds Get Away with Siphoning Off America's Wealth. Now that the Republicans have again gone to the mat to protect the tax loopholes that allow hedge fund managers to accrue astonishing wealth while paying less taxes than their secretaries, we will discuss what it is that hedge funds do and why they are able to pull down astounding sums of money. Then finally, as counting begins in the Kenyan elections, we will examine the revolving door between the political classes that rule Kenya, often inciting violence to further their power, but ultimately taking care of themselves and not the voters they promised to take care of. George Zongola, a professor of African and Afro-American studies at the University of North Carolina, joins us to discuss the lack of ethnic violence so far compared to the last election, which could change as election results are announced. And joining us now is Tyson Slocum, who's the director of the Energy Program at Public Citizen. He works on promoting decentralized, sustainable energy and providing affordable, clean energy solutions for working families. Tyson Slocum has expertise on federal subsidies for the energy sector and promotes refocusing such incentives away from the nuclear, oil, and coal industries towards efficiency, renewable energy, and mass transit. Welcome to Background Briefing, Tyson Slocum.
Hey, always great to be here, Ian.
And the announcement today of the new Secretary of Energy, Ernest Moniz, who was a deputy energy secretary during the Clinton administration, apparently, and heads up a research shop, I guess, at MIT called the Energy Initiative, which gets funding from BP, Chevron, and Saudi Aramco, even though this funding is supposed to be connected in some ways to climate change. There's a bit of a paradox to begin with, isn't there?
Well, I mean, that's the paradox of the Obama administration, right? Where, on the one hand, the president employs some soaring rhetoric about how important it is to address climate change on one hand, and then on the other, for example, in his State of the Union address, he emphasizes his all-of-the-above energy strategy with a big focus on vastly expanding oil and natural gas production. And the problem is you cannot address climate change at the same time that you increase fossil fuel production. And so in that sense, Moniz is a perfect fit for Obama's contradictory energy policy. Again, Moniz is a great person personally, he is the wrong pick to be Secretary of Energy at this critical time when we need to focus our energies not on promoting natural gas, as Moniz has said we need to do, but instead on promoting decentralized renewable energy and arming citizens with more tools to help us use energy more wisely and make rooftop solar and other decentralized renewable energy more affordable. You know, Moniz's comments about how natural gas needs to be the centerpiece of a clean energy strategy is going to take us backwards. There's too many emissions involved with natural gas production and combustion, and we're investing billions and billions of dollars in new drilling when we need to be investing in safe, sustainable, renewable energy systems instead.
So when the president says, as he did today, that Ernie knows that we can produce more energy and grow our economy while still taking care of our air, our water, and our climate, can you have it both ways?
You can. And as you said at the beginning, Mr. Moniz ran an institute at MIT in Massachusetts that got tens of millions of dollars in seed funding from major oil companies. And this is a big strategy by big oil to influence the academic process, to finance the research activities of major academic institutions where they're studying things like the safety of fracking and other things. And that's seriously problematic. Again, Mr. Moniz is a fine individual, and I wish him luck in academia, but he is the wrong person to be leading the Secretary of Energy at this critical time when we need people that are not committed to fossil fuels, but committed to clean energy, to renewable energy, and promoting energy efficiency.
And where was Stephen Chu, his predecessor, in this? They're both physicists, both nuclear physicists, as a matter of fact.
Right. I mean, Stephen Chu was the head of one of the Department of Energy's many illustrious research laboratories. And Stephen Chu ended up being, focusing heavily on promoting nuclear power, focusing on promoting renewable energy as well. But he clearly wasn't the right fit to administer such a large agency as the Department of Energy. Again, Stephen Chu is a fine individual, but the problem I have with Obama's nominee, Moniz, to head up energy is he's a status quo candidate at a time when we cannot afford the status quo.
And, of course, he was famous for investing in Solyndra, which was a company that made solar panels that got on the wrong side of technical innovation and cost the taxpayers a considerable amount of money. And, of course, the Republicans have been making hay out of it ever since. Do you think is this new candidate, is he likely to be gun-shy now as a result of Solyndra?
No, actually, because Moniz is a huge proponent of nuclear power. And there is the Obama administration has extended an $8.3 billion loan guarantee offer to Southern Company to build a new nuclear power plant facility in Georgia. Now, negotiations were not going very well on that loan guarantee, and the Secretary of Energy would oversee the details of that loan guarantee plan. The negotiations were not going well until after the inauguration, and it's important to note that Southern Company gave $100,000 to finance Obama's inaugural activities this past January. And weeks after that $100,000 check was delivered, a Southern Company executive announced that the loan guarantee negotiations were going very well and that they expected it to close before June of this year. So Moniz has been a huge proponent of nuclear power. We have Southern Company that gave $100,000 to Obama's inauguration is set to accept an $8.3 billion loan guarantee. I'm sure a lot of listeners out there can understand the return on that investment. $100,000 turns into $8.3 billion. And the problem is that nuclear power is extremely risky. The Southern Company project is already over $1 billion over budget, and it's already more than a year behind schedule. This is the wrong technology. It saps a lot of money that should be going to proven cheaper technologies like wind and solar and investment in energy efficiency.
Again, I'm speaking with Tyson Slocum, who is the director of the energy program at Public Citizen. He works on promoting decentralized, sustainable energy and providing affordable, clean energy solutions for excuse me, for working families. Tyson Slocum has expertise on federal subsidies for the energy sector and promotes refocusing such incentives away from nuclear, oil and coal towards efficiency, renewable energy and mass transit. And we're talking about the new choice of Ernie Moniz to be the Secretary of Energy. And he is a nuclear physicist. He's worked as a member of the Obama administration's Commission on Nuclear Waste, and he's heads up a think tank at MIT, the Energy Initiative, a research group that gets funding from BP, Chevron, and Saudi Aramco. So I guess this report last Friday from the State Department about the Keystone XL pipeline, which disappointed a lot of environmentalists, could be a harbinger for the new Secretary of Energy to announce Keystone. Is that where we're heading?
Well, I mean, it's not surprising that the Obama administration came out with a favorable environmental review of the Keystone pipeline. As I'm sure many of your listeners know, the Keystone pipeline is this proposed system that would link up dirty Canadian tar sands oil, move it through the Midwestern United States down to oil refineries in the Gulf Coast, where that tar sands oil would be turned into gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel, primarily for export out of the United States. So we're moving Canadian oil through the United States to a coast to get it out into the global market. That doesn't benefit consumers. In fact, research by my organization, Public Citizen, shows that it's going to result in an increase in gasoline prices for Americans. What it is also going to increase dramatically is greenhouse gas emissions, because tar sands oil is far more carbon intensive in terms of the extraction and the burning. It is unsustainable. It is a serious problem for the planet, but the Obama administration remains committed to this all-of-the-above strategy, and the problem is we cannot afford this all-of-the-above strategy. It's more of the status quo, and the status quo is what's led to climate disruption. We need to get serious about climate change, and approval of the Keystone Pipeline cannot be part of that.
So if you are somewhat skeptical that the new Secretary of the Energy is going to come out on the right side of Keystone, what about the new head of the EPA, Gina McCarthy, who was also announced today?
Gina McCarthy's great. I've had the pleasure of meeting her in her office in her current capacity at the EPA. She's a tremendous individual, and I hope that she's able to run the EPA. The question is Gina McCarthy going to get the support she needs from the Obama administration to deal with climate change? As your listeners may know, in 2007, the Supreme Court ruled that the Environmental Protection Agency must regulate greenhouse gas emissions under its existing Clean Air Act authority. Now, Obama, to his credit, used that authority for the first time in announcing last year finalized greenhouse gas emission rules over automobiles. It was a combined fuel economy and greenhouse gas emission standard that actually is very good, but the work is not done. We need to then get rules on existing power plants and oil refineries, and that's where Gina McCarthy comes in. She's a great a leader at the EPA, and she needs to have Obama's support in this year proposing regulations over existing power plants and oil refineries, emissions of greenhouse gas emissions. So that's what we need from this EPA. I think Gina McCarthy's ready to do it. The question is Obama ready to do it?
And what do you make of the questions, Tyson Slocum, about Ernie Moniz's chairing a panel on the future of natural gas, where he was against erecting barriers against exporting natural gas, and that seems to be something that people are watching closely. If indeed
for good reason, we shouldn't be exporting this gas because, first of all, if we export natural gas, that's going to raise prices for the companies and the individuals that are using that gas today. But second, if we start exporting this gas, it is just going to encourage more fracking domestically here at home. And fracking has serious environmental, climatic, and water issues in terms of pollution. And so we've got to understand that fracking is not part of a clean energy future. It is not part of addressing climate change. It is a barrier to a clean and sustainable future, and it inhibits our ability to effectively address climate change. And the problem I have with Moniz, again, he's a fine individual, but he is not the right person to be leading the Department of Energy at this critical time. We cannot have someone in there that is a cheerleader for fossil fuels like natural gas and fracking and oil. And that's what Moniz is. I think that he's been fine in academia, and I wish him well in his continued academic pursuits. I do not want him to be Secretary of the Energy at this critical juncture. He's the wrong person for the job.
But, of course, the argument that that those that have been promoting natural gas and energy, U.S. energy independence, is that it's so much cleaner than coal. And there's no question that coal has had to take a back seat, has it not? Because natural gas has become so cheap by comparison. So
absolutely, we've seen a displacement of coal-fired generated power plants in favor of natural gas, primarily because of the cost advantage of gas. And there's a secondary benefit to that, because natural gas, as you said, features significantly lower greenhouse gas emissions when you burn it. But the problem is the methane emission leaks at the fracking wellhead sites where you're extracting the natural gas are significant. So while natural gas has clear advantages over coal when you burn it in a power plant to generate electricity, there are serious emissions problems when you're fracking, when you are extracting that gas from the ground. That's why gas is not a solution to climate change. In fact, it's a contributing problem to climate change. The only solution here is focusing on zero emission sources like wind and solar. The technology is there, right? The question is, do we have the political will? And we have to remember, Moniz, his program at MIT is bankrolled by big oil and natural gas companies. So his perspective comes from big oil's perspective. If George Bush had nominated Moniz, every major environmental group would be screaming and hollering, talking about how big oil is now back in charge at the Department of Energy. We haven't seen that with Moniz. Again, I don't mean to disparage his character. He's a fine person individually. He's just not the right person to head up the Secretary of Energy at this critical juncture.
And there's nothing in what was said today or in his resume that indicates that he wants to accelerate wind and solar?
I mean, he talks about wind and solar the way that Obama does, as part of an all-of-the-above strategy where wind and solar play a role, typically a backseat role, to oil and gas. And that's the problem I have. Moniz is going to promote the status quo. He's going to accelerate development of natural gas. And that's what he's going to be promoting. Of course, he's going to talk about wind and solar, but what we need is someone to say fracking is not a solution. Increasing natural gas production is not a solution. It's a problem. There are hundreds of communities out there that are experiencing pollution and water contamination as a result of natural gas. This is not a clean, sustainable energy source. This is a devastatingly polluting resource. We need to understand that the future of our planet depends upon sustainability, and sustainability comes from zero-emission sources. The technology is there. The question is the political will. We have to stand up for the fossil fuel interests, and when a Secretary of Energy nominee has the financial backing of big oil companies, that's not my candidate. That's not the person I want in there.
Well, Tyson Slocum, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
It's always my pleasure, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Tyson Slocum, who is the director of the energy program at Public Citizen. He works on promoting decentralized, sustainable energy and providing affordable, clean energy solutions for working families. Slocum has expertise on federal subsidies for the energy sector and promotes refocusing such incentives away from the nuclear, oil, and coal industries towards efficiency, renewable energy, and mass transit. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with the author of a new book, How to Make $1 Million an Hour, Why Hedge Funds Get Away with Siphoning Off America's Wealth.
Energy is becoming one of our country's greatest concerns. If we don't stop working on energy conservation, there may not be enough energy to go around by the time I'm a parent. I'm going to learn about how we can solve some of our problems through alternative energy sources. You can learn more about energy, too. Call your county cooperative extension service for more information. Conserving energy is everyone's responsibility. Call 4-H to find out how you can do your part.